are to be totally absorbed with Jesus Christ. We are to have an unqualified preoccupation with the Son of God.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Psalm 15 provides several significant insights into godly character. And very precisely, it unfolds for us the beliefs and the behavior, the character and the conduct, the virtues and the values of a constituent of God's family, of God's kingdom. If you're a constituent of God's family and God's kingdom, there are certain elements in Psalm 15 that ought to begin to become evident in your life. We can apply them. Even though it's Old Testament data, we can apply the principles that emerge out of that psalm in our daily lives. You see, when the heart of a man is sound in conversion, then the life of a man will be sacred in its character and its conduct. If he's really saved, if there's a sound conversion, there will be a transformation in his life. There will always be visible evidence of true conversion surfacing in his character and his conduct. And if those visible evidences are not progressively surfacing in a man's life, you have to question the genuineness of his conversion. And if there is life in us, there will be evidence of life. And if there is no life, of course, there will be no evidence. God is looking for, and I think the watching world is looking for in our lives, visible evidence of transformed lives. And we get some of the insights with respect to what elements of godly character, which will be an evidence of that transformed life, ought to become characteristic of our lives in this 15th Psalm. I would suggest that every Christian should have a hunger for elements, the elements of godly character which are pleasing to God. It seems to me that Psalm 15 provides two very significant insights relating to a godly man, which will help us to know what those elements are. There are two insights, but under those two insights are nine elements of godly character. As I look at Psalm 15, this is what I see. There are various ways of looking at the psalm, I'm sure. And that's true of all of God's Word. It's such a rich source of theological data and spiritual truth. But as I look at Psalm 15, the first thing I see is the virtues of a godly man. Verse 1 is introductory. Verses 2 and 3, the virtues of a godly man. And in those two verses, we see David looking at virtue, first of all, positively, that's verse 2, and then negatively, that's verse 3. What are those virtues in verse 2? He says, we should have virtue in our walk, he that walketh uprightly. I think it's not without significance that David's word walketh is in the Hebrew language is in the participial form. And the participle means continuity of action. It means continuity of responsibility. We do this continuously. And it means that in all areas and in every era, every period, we are to continuously walk in the entirety of our life in a way that is pleasing to God. Now, more precisely, he says, I want you to walk uprightly. Now, you know, we don't dare pass over these words. We can read these words, we can pass over them, but there's something meaningful in these words. What does it mean to walk uprightly? Tamim is the Hebrew word, T-A-M-I-M, tamim. And it's a very precious word, a very powerful word. It's an interesting thing. That word tamim, uprightly, walk uprightly. What does it mean to walk uprightly? Do you walk uprightly? Well, are you sure what it means? Are you sure you know what it means? That word means four things. This is the way it was used in the Old Testament. That word means four things to walk uprightly. It has four nuances or facets or shades of significance. And as you wade through the Old Testament, you find these. To walk uprightly means that we will, number one, walk spotlessly. That's the meaning of the term. It's a term which speaks of being unblemished and spotless. And it means living a life before the watching world. And you and I can be sure that the world is watching. If we're Christians, we can be sure that the world, God is watching, and we can be sure that the world is watching. It means living a life before the watching world at which no finger of accusation or criticism can be pointed. Unblemished, spotless. It means that the Christian must not only be pure, he must be evidently, clearly pure. He must be seen to be pure. That's what the word means. It's true that the Christian is not perfect. All of us know that. But the Christian has experienced a perfect cleansing through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that perfect cleansing is to become evident in his life. When he becomes a Christian, he's to begin to develop character and conduct and reputation that are consistently blameless and clean and without blemish. That's what the word means, tamim, to walk uprightly. It means to walk spotlessly. Secondly, it means to walk sacrificially. This was the term which was often associated with sacrificial animals, who were to be without blemish and without spot. It was used of the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. When they were to search out a Passover lamb, it was to be tamim, without spot, without blemish. It was a sacrificial term, not only a moral term, but it was a sacrificial term. It means that a man's whole life, what does it mean? To walk uprightly means that a man's whole life must be fit to offer to God as a sacrifice. And that will mean that it must be the very best that we have to offer. We can never offer God anything except the very best that we have. It means on a practical level that you and I, in order to walk uprightly, it means that you and I must visualize the whole of our life, every part of it. Now, how do you think about this? This is very practical and down to earth. We must visualize the whole of our life, every part of it, as being given back to God as an offering and a sacrifice for his glory. And we should want every bit of it to be pleasing to the Lord. Every facet of our life. Maybe it's our work. Is my work today, the way I worked today, is it fit to give to God as an offering and a sacrifice for his glory? How about my pleasure? Not only my work, my pleasure. Is it Christ honoring or my sport? Is that honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my attitude in sport honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there bitterness if I lose? Is there pride if I win? Can I offer my sport to the Lord as something that will be pleasing in his sight? Or my home life, or my personal relationships, all of these things we should want to give back to God as an offering and a sacrifice that's pleasing to him. It means that we will want to banish every vestige of second best. We don't bring second best to God, we bring first best to God. My life is an offering to God. Every bit of it, every facet of it, every nuance of it, every shade of it is an offering to God. That's what it means to walk uprightly. It's a sacrificial term. And so I banish second best and I give him the very best that I have. And then it means to walk securely. This word uprightly, to walk securely. Gazanius says it was a term that was sometimes used to describe those who were in a position of safety or security. When you're walking uprightly, you're in a sense, you're safe and secure. Those who walk uprightly are those who are free from certain things. They are free from the defilement of sin, and they're free from the power of Satan. And that's the safest place in all the world, to be free from the defilement of sin and the power of Satan in the custody of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know real security, deliverance from those things which can only destroy them, sin and Satan. It means to walk securely. Finally, it means to walk singularly, to have a singularity of focus. Tamim means to be complete, to be whole, to be integrated, to be put together in one united piece. Very complex term, very rich term, tamim. Marked by integrity. To walk uprightly means to have a singularity of focus. Oneness, not two-ness. It's an awkward expression, but that's what it means. Oneness, not two-ness. It suggests that we have a heart for only one thing. We have one objective in life, and that is to do the will of God. On a practical basis, it means for you and me that we are to be totally absorbed with Jesus Christ. We are to have an unqualified preoccupation with the Son of God. The man who walks uprightly is the man who's free from the tyranny of a divided self. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. It means to be free from the tyranny of a divided self. It means that we are undivided in our loyalty to Jesus Christ. It means that we make no false divisions between the secular and the sacred. We're not sacred on Sunday and Thursday and secular the rest of the week. We don't make these false compartmental divisions in our life. We have one focus, 7 days a week, total absorption with Jesus Christ, unqualified preoccupation with the Son of God, total commitment to God's will and God's word. That's what the word means, tamim. It means all of those things. But then he says we need virtue not only in our walk, but also in our work. We're to walk uprightly, which means that we're to walk spotlessly, sacrificially, securely, and singularly. But then also, we're to have virtue in our work. And he worketh righteousness. Again, David uses a participle, worketh. And it suggests, a participle in the Hebrew language suggests continuous activity, continuity of responsibility. In other words, he said this is something we're always to be doing. We're always to be working righteousness. What does it mean to work righteousness? These words are just full of meaning. Worketh righteousness. This word is pa'al. I'm sure you're interested in that and you want to write that down. The Hebrew word, and it's a very rich word. These little verbs and participles in the Hebrew language, which we begin to mine out the meaning and the significance of it. As I began to study that word, what does it mean to work righteousness? You know that word means three things? That word pa'al has three ideas attached to it. Let me get them to you quickly. One, creativity. Two, energy. And three, permanency. Those three ideas are inherent in the word pa'al. One, creativity. It's the term that was used to describe the creative power and genius of God. He's called our maker, Job 36:3, and it's the same Hebrew word, pa'al. Creativity, the creative genius and power of God. Unfortunately, it's also used negatively of the creative genius of the wicked, how they plot and devise, they work wickedness, Psalm 58 and verse 2. So the mark of the godly man is that he becomes creative. You and I become creative in implementing righteousness. Have you ever thought about how I can be more righteous? Have you ever sat down and just thought about it and meditated on it and thought, now what are ways, you know, righteousness in the simplest sense is giving to God and to man their due. That's righteousness, giving to God and to man their due. Have you ever thought about, just sat down and thought about ways in which I can give to man and which I can glorify God? You know, I need to serve men and God more effectively and more efficiently. I'm going to be creative in my righteousness. You know, it's amazing. We can be creative in so many things, but usually they're the wrong things. We should be creative in righteousness. It means creativity. It also means energy. It's the term used to describe work. In fact, that's how it's translated. Worketh righteousness. It means to work emphatically, the lexicon says. To work emphatically with attention and diligence as a workman works at his trade. And David means this. The godly man is not simply the man who thinks about righteousness and talks about righteousness. The godly man is the man who understands and performs righteousness. He's not the man who simply hears the word of God. He's the man who does the word of God in his life. And then it also carries the idea of permanency. It's the term which sometimes describes an occupation, work. What's your occupation? What's your work? Worketh righteousness. It's the term that describes occupation or a business. In other words, David is saying this. It is the vocation. This is your vocation and mine. It is the vocation, it's the business, it's the permanent occupation of the godly man, the godly woman, the godly teenager, the godly young person, or the godly child. It's the permanent occupation of God's children to creatively and energetically engage in righteousness. The godly man has virtue in his walk, he walks uprightly, and he has virtue in his work. He works righteousness creatively, energetically, permanently. It's the very meaning of the word.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.